There is a Jesuit priest, an American, who spent a big chunk of time in his life in the Soviet Union, and he has written a memoir about that, a spiritual memoir. It's become popular again, kind of put out there on different apps and resources, and it's about Father Walter Chizik, a Jesuit priest who went to do missionary work in the Soviet Union, right in the middle of the turmoil at the beginning of World War II, saw this as an opportunity to go into the Soviet Union and to evangelize, to be present, to minister. And so he was there from 1940 all the way to 1963, 23 years. 22 of those years were spent in first Lubyanka prison and then in the Gulag system of enforced labor camps in the Soviet Union. So in his mission of 23 years, 22 of those were in confinement, under torture, and then under hard labor. And yet, in his reflection, in his book, He Leadeth Me, he says this, "For me, however, there could be no doubt the fullest freedom I had ever known, the greatest sense of security, came from abandoning my will to do only the will of God. What was there to fear so long as I did His will? Not death, not failure, except the failure to do His will. As St. Paul says, for if God is with us, who can stand against us? Choosing to do His will and experiencing the spiritual freedom that followed was my greatest joy and the source of tremendous interior strength." And so here was this man who had experienced, lived out an incredible freedom, even though he simply could have despaired of that all during his grinding imprisonment. Looking at Jesus in our account today, in his passion, we see Jesus who is betrayed, arrested, bound, tortured, condemned, led to execution, crucified, put in a tomb. And yet the paradox is he's actually the freest person in the entire passion. Despite all of that reality, all of that suffering, he is the one who is truly free. You see, freedom really transcends simply our popular notions about what it is. It's not just simply a freedom from negative things, of not suffering or not going without food. Freedom is also not just exercising my choice without limits. You know, Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. Remember another Jesuit, Father Raymond Goronsky, a mentor of mine, he said, "Well, I did it my way. That kind of sounds like the theme song of hell." You know? Free will to act or not to act, to do this or do that, that's a capacity, an important capacity. But freedom, it's a state of being. It's a state of acting that is ordered towards the good, in which I become more and more alive and have more and more a capacity as alive to truly love. And so the Church and the Catechism says that freedom is a force for growth and maturity in truth and goodness. It's ordered towards something. It attains its perfection when directed towards God, our beatitude, that is, our happiness. Freedom gives us this great capacity to love and to be alive. Let's consider the other people around Jesus in the Passion, besides Mary, who gave that great fiat at the beginning of her life and plays out throughout all the way to the cross. Besides her, you know, we've got all these other people, disciples, the betrayer, you know, religious authorities, the crowd, the Romans. And while, yes, they were outwardly free to act, exteriorly they could do things, they were truly bound, deeply bound in different ways. Bound by fear, by lying, by lust for power, by envy, by greed, by misunderstanding, by weakness, by sorrow. And all of them, not a lot of truth and goodness really going on with that crowd. And that is what our human plight truly is. We are made for truth. for goodness, for freedom, for life, for love. But we are so often, and we are bound by sin and its ultimate effects, including death. Jesus, he freely comes into the darkness of our human plight, and he comes with the greatest love and bears its cost to make true freedom possible for us. In our first reading, we hear about this from Isaiah, describing prophetically what Jesus would do. We had all gone astray like sheep. You know that misused freedom. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way. But the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all, because he surrendered himself to death and was counted among the wicked. He shall take away the sins of many and win pardon for their offenses. If he gives his life as an offering for sin, he shall see his descendants in a long life, and the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. Jesus comes to give truth, goodness, freedom, life, to accomplish the Father's will. All of this directed towards this great and ultimate good with this greatest love. Jesus is the freest person in the Passion. Even when nailed to a cross, even if for 3 days he seems like a failure. What about for us? What about for us? For our freedom and how free we are or aren't. We were created for real freedom, this deep interior freedom, this orientation towards goodness and truth and to be fully alive and to love. And we can be truly free like that in Jesus Christ. There's many ways to speak about what Jesus accomplishes on the cross, atonement, forgiveness of sins. But another way is the freedom that he gives us to finally be children of God. And not just to have a physical freedom, I can do things externally, but a deep interior freedom. Ultimately, it means a capacity to love. Our society may have all kinds of physical freedoms, but interiorly, it is supremely bound. Jesus wants to give us true freedom, and it's something we have been given. We've been given the beginnings of that in our baptism. As his passion is poured over us, as his resurrection is poured over us, we get the grace to be free. But then we always need to keep growing in that freedom. Like the Catechism said, growth and maturity in truth and goodness. I have definitely tasted the freedom of Jesus Christ, that he has won for me, that he has won for us. And it's incredible the goodness that he can bring about and the renewal that he can bring of the heart and how much he can act through us as we enter into that freedom. And so Walter Chizik, in the camp, he says this. So you may have thought, 22 years in prison, I guess mission over, right? No, mission right where it needs to be. The most forgotten, the most condemned, the most desperate, the most ignored. And God put him there for almost a quarter century to fruitfully be there. And he says, true freedom meant nothing else than letting God operate within my soul without interference, as manifested in the promptings, inspirations, and other means he chose to communicate rather than simply acting on my own initiative. To taste the freedom of Jesus Christ, to be guided by his Spirit, is so powerful and beautiful. But often I lack myself true freedom, bound by emotion or apprehension or selfishness or ignorance or letting the hardness of a situation turn my heart itself hard. I cannot love as I ought. But St. Paul says this, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." And so, my brothers and sisters, let us come again to the crucified one. Let us come to Jesus, really bear our hearts before the pierced heart of Jesus, And first of all, give him thanks, a sincere and loving thanks for the freedom, the deep, internal, abiding, eternal freedom that he has won for us. But don't stop there. Then acknowledge and surrender what keeps you from growing in that maturity and truth and goodness that blocks you from loving fully as you ought. Maybe one of those figures in the Passion reminds you of yourself. Come to the Pierced One with your heart where it is hard and ask for his grace to give you the deeper freedom that you need. Ask for grace not simply to be freed from those inner chains and that hardness of heart, but the grace then to finally completely, concretely love in your life, choosing, no matter the situation, truth, goodness, and love. No greater love is there than to lay down one's life for one's friends, and no greater freedom.